Chapter 90. The Art of Disguise. Harry had a soaring moment of vertigo, and then his brain kicked into gear. This was an obvious, obvious trap, again predicated on Harry's saving people thing. But Harry had learned something this June, and he had Dudley to keep alive. How could he keep Dudley alive? Wand out, boy! Obeying the voice of his teacher in his mind, Harry drew his wand, grabbing Dudley's large arm with his other hand. Dudley, Harry said softly, we need to run now. That's a sign of a wizard terrorist group. We don't have a chance if we go that way. Come on, walk with me. But Mom and Dad, they're dead. You're not. You want to live? Harry couldn't believe the words coming out of his mouth. He was half sure he was lying. Aunt Petunia couldn't be dead. Uncle Vernon couldn't be dead. But he remembered from last summer that explanation of Mors Mordre. Ron, you know who and his followers sent the Dark Mark into the air whenever they killed, said Mr. Weasley. The terror it inspired, you have no idea. You're too young. Just picture coming home and finding the Dark Mark hovering over your house and knowing what you're about to find inside. Mr. Weasley winced. Everyone's worst fear. The very worst. Dudley seemed frozen. So Harry gestured sharply with his wand. Walk, Dudley! And, held at wand point, his cousin did turn and start walking back the way they had come. What did Harry need to do next? He wanted to shout and scream and run blindly into a fight with Voldemort and his Death Eaters. He wanted... Harry dug into one of the pockets of his hoodie and pulled out a small mirror. Sirius? Harry, can this wait? Came Sirius's voice. The Prime Minister is about to give an address. I shouldn't really be talking. There's a Dark Mark over my house. I've got Dudley, but I don't see anyone else. I think Remus and Tonks are on your detail tonight, Sirius said. I'm on my way. It's a trap, Harry hissed. Don't. They probably want to get at the Prime Minister while you're distracted for Merlin's sake. Sirius hissed out a quiet breath. I'll contact the Order, said the voice from Harry's mirror. You just need to hold on until Remus finds you. Make sure it's him, mind. We're not the only ones with access to Polyjuice. Polyjuice, Harry realized with a jolt, was a great idea. It would be great for them to not look like Harry Potter and Dudley Dursley right now. Well, there were always invisibility chews. Now seemed like a day where you worried about temporary blindness side effects later. Dudley had started gibbering. Gotta go, Harry told his mirror, and stowed it away again to grab Dudley before Dudley could bolt into the night. Dudley raised a fist. Harry raised his wand. Dudley, Harry said, I'm going to give you something to drink to make you look like someone else, okay? And then chocolate. I'm not drinking anything you gave me. I didn't say you had a choice. And Dudley drank the polyjuice potion Harry hastily prepared in the shadow of a hedge. And Harry tried not to find Dudley Dursley turning into a copy of Draco Malfoy entirely weird. His posture, clothes, and expression were entirely different, miserable and hunched. That'd have to do. Come on, Dennis. Harry handed calming chocolates over to Dudley, who ate them absently the way he ate anything handed to him, while Harry ate an invisibility chew. What he wouldn't give for having the trace off his wand already.
Why aren't we running? Dudley asked calmly.
Because running draws attention, Harry muttered. And I don't know how many Death Eaters there are. Shh.
They walked, slowly and calmly, past a weaselly-looking man, leaning on a lamppost, who reminded Harry dreadfully of his classmate Knott. The chill fog that had drifted into town over the week since Harry had been home was settling in fiercely now, and it drank the warmth from Harry's bones. They never had had dinner. They turned the next corner, back towards the center of town. Harry was trying to figure out if he should call the night bus, or if that was too obvious. He could summon his firebolt, but that seemed obvious, too. Harry heard someone sniff, and then two people fell into step with him and Dudley, as if stepping out of thin air.
"Watcha, Harry," said Tonks, She didn't look like Tonks. Never had Harry been so glad to see two hobos. Remus still looked like himself, but he honestly looked like a hobo most of the time. Okay? Not really. I thought I shouldn't go back to the house. There was a ministry pamphlet. First time a ministry pamphlet'll be good for something, Tonks said. We'll sidelong you out of here. Then I'll come back with a team to clear the house. I'm sorry. How do I know you're really you?
Last year I helped sneak you out to fight Boggarts and Doxies with Sirius for your Easter break, and I told you it was a kidnapping, said Remus. I'm afraid you're going to have to take my word for it about Tonks.
Okay, what's a side-along?
Disapparation with a passenger, said Remus. That's you.
What about Dudley?
He's a muggle, Harry, Remus said softly. We'll be able to hide him later, but we can't take him with us.
He's coming with me. Harry searched for a reason for that to be okay. He's a squib. Wizard family, right? That's legal.
Remus and Tonks exchanged glances.
Works for me, said Tonks. I think they'll buy it this week. Come on, boys.
Each adult took the hand of one teenager, and they disappeared with a bang from Little Whinging.